Hey, what's up, everybody? Welcome to Comic Book Club. I'm Alex.
I'm Justin.
Oh no! Pete's not here this week, which is very, very sad because he's dead.
Oh, someone's leaving. That makes sense. Pete went on vacation in New England.
We don't know why.
Yeah, it's weird.
He was
right?
Like, I'm going to New England. I'll see you guys later. Here's the funny part you'll see throughout the show. This show falls apart without Pete.
Turns out. I'm dressed like a candy cane. I don't know. You look the same.
Yeah.
Exactly the same.
I'm not wearing underwear. I forgot it.
Me neither. You forgot it? I made a conscious choice not to wear underwear. So.
Anyway, Pete is not here, but Booth matters! So that's pretty exciting. What else is exciting is our guest tonight. Let's just welcome that. Yeah. Ladies and gentlemen, John Dabrus!
This is great. You each have your own couch today.
I know. It's perfect. We can invite members of the audience now.
Lucky.
Yeah.
Lucky.
Like everyone's keeping their distance tonight.
Yeah, please. If you guys can actually back up.
Do we have a reputation for farting during the show?
Did you say we? Or
just me?
Yeah.
Yeah, to be fair, it's a deserved reputation.
Yeah, I know. I do.
I said.
That's why we had
why
to change
couch. Why are we talking? Pete goes away.
Yeah, I know. We lose all of our... I can't explain.
We lose all of our English and words.
I didn't know Pete wasn't going to be here.
Are you comfy?
Almost. Okay. I didn't know Pete wasn't going to be here. I wouldn't have done the show.
Wow, why?
Then we would have...
Pete and I have, like, we went through a lot together at one period of our time, like, one period of our lives, so I feel like we have, like, a special connection.
Is that when you got that shirt?
Yeah, we both bought a shirt together. It was a crazy day.
Yeah.
This is summer Gabrus, by the way.
Yeah, those dress pants.
I like to wear linen pants, flips, you know.
Not after Labor Day, dude. Not after Labor Day.
Oh, don't worry. Wait, when's Labor Day? And that's the one at the end of the month.
Yeah.
End of the summer.
Yeah. End of September.
I got plenty of time.
You got time.
End of September.
Right, just don't fall asleep for 3 months.
You got it.
Cool. On to the comics and on to the stack!
Yeah!
Nice. Let's get right into this. I'm going to move into my light a little bit.
Oh, no. Sorry.
No problem.
Everybody find your light.
No, that's fine. Again, things fall apart without Pete here. Let's talk about Final Crisis number 2. This may, in fact, be the reason you're the only person in America clapping right now.
Oh, yeah. I just clapped because you said final something. I don't know. This was terrible. I read this.
Did you?
Yeah.
What's terrible about it?
I don't know.
Welcome to the show.
Thank you. That's the review.
I thought this was a fashion show. A time bullet?
I thought that was so cool.
Yeah, of course. This is like a Tenacious D song written out.
Oh, shit.
The killer used a time bullet, you know, like, it's so ridiculous.
Yeah.
I will say that the way it's explained is ridiculous, that it's like, oh, Batman has this theory that maybe it's a bullet that travels backwards in time.
So I'm
how
just
did he,
how fleshing
did he,
that out.
Yeah. How did you develop that theory, exactly? Based on what?
I'm not, Batman?
Yeah.
Why are you coming to me on this?
No, answer. Why did Batman think that?
I'm very anti-time travel in comic books because I feel like it's the quick answer to a major problem. It's like, man, how are we going to justify how Martian Manhunter got killed? Easy. Somebody shot him from 50 years ago. That's crazy. And then, of course, it ends with, and the scope is pointed right at us.
Yeah. Well, I don't get it. But you shoot a bullet through time, then it has to, does it move through space as well?
That's the weird thing. I was wondering about that as well, because essentially, if you do have a bullet moving through time, let's talk about this in a reasonable amount of
time. Any physicists in the house?
Yeah, then the idea, I guess, is that it sits there, and it's basically, people are like, oh, is that a bullet? Nothing's going to happen.
But is it going fast?
Here's my question. Is the bullet just existing, and then when the right time comes, the person's head, like, just appears around it?
Well,
you're like, oh
shit!
The bullet's in my brain! And then out?
No, it's literally like, for it to make sense,
it's like a long
bullet. Well, he would have seen, if it's a time bullet,
and you're walking up to it, it was there before, and you're like, what's that in the distance? Is that a, it's a bullet. Oh, it's my head. Oh, I'm dead.
I imagine it's like a stop motion video of like the sunrise, you know, like there's just a bullet sitting there and people all walking.
Yeah.
And just like this one bullet's in it, and then all of a sudden someone stops and just like.
That's a great music video for The Verve.
Yeah.
Is anyone in The Verve here?
We're all into The Verve.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah, this is 1992. Yeah. I will say that there is some enjoyable stuff about this issue. I really liked what they did with Batman here. I like the fact that they take him down immediately and beat him up. Because I don't like Batman.
Oh, you don't like Batman? Oh, that's a big admission. That's a big admission. Yeah. You hate Batman.
He's just annoying. He's a know-it-all.
Wow.
Oh, you don't like know-it-all?
I don't like other know-it-alls.
Classic know-it-all thing to say. Grant Morrison is doing his standard thing. I mean, Pete, who refuses to read Final Crisis.
Okay. I'm glad you ended that sentence with Final Crisis, because...
Pete refuses to read. That's why I like the comic books. Because you can get a little bit. Pete refused to read Final Crisis, and he's like, yeah, it's probably not making much sense, but slowly starting to come together. And that's exactly what it is. Like, it's too messy right now.
I agree. All right, let's move on. Talk about two issues of Avengers, New Avengers and Mighty Avengers. Look, the covers don't link together. These are dealing
that's true
with
all of these times.
I know. If you put them together, they don't make a big picture.
Yeah.
Both dealing with the Skrull invasion that's going on. What do you guys think about these issues?
I liked one of them. I liked the Hank Pym one, which was Mighty Avengers, I believe, where he falls in love with a girl and turns out she's a Skrull. And then she...
Classic boy meets Skrull story.
Though I will say, I'm getting... Are they going to do this with every character in the Marvel Universe?
I don't know. I'm getting a little sick of it, honestly.
Second to time travel, Shapeshifters is the other big cop-out in comic books, right? Where it's like, well, that character was acting weird on that guy's run because it was a shapeshifter the whole time. Like, it's not a huge reveal to just retroactively make something a shapeshifter. Though I think it's cool that there's, like, these people are so, like, these aliens are so deep undercover, yet they all meet in a warehouse, not in Skrull form, and they're like, no one is tracking. Don't worry. No one in this world that consists of superheroes and S.H.I.E.L.D. can spot a meeting of 60 people that, like, ranging from S.H.I.E.L.D. officers to supervillains to superheroes, all meeting in a room together and just talking.
It's
probably
a wooden. It's a wooden warehouse.
What?
In the Marvel Universe, nobody can see through wood.
The little known fact, it's a big secret.
Yeah.
Stanley's going to say that on his grave.
Yeah, but humans can hear through it.
Right, you can hear through wood?
I can hear through wood, yeah.
Wow.
I sleep in a coffin, and my alarm still wakes me up.
Wow. You're awful proud.
I'm very proud of
you. No, I totally agree. It's completely, completely ridiculous, and it's the same scene every time. I have a problem with repeating panels, and the fact that it's pages upon pages of people being like, they'll never discover us. How's the plan going? So we're going to let them do what they want.
Visual,
that's their whole plan.
Visual
basically.
Aid.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Literally,
it's boring.
Same
that's
panel
really
five
boring.
Times.
And the same thing appears in Mighty Avengers, the previous two issues of Mighty Avengers and New Avengers, other books. It's boring.
They're kind of cocky about this secret invasion. It's selling so well, I think that they kind of knew it was going to, all the seating and everything. But I think they're like, we got them. We can take our time. Just draw one panel, we'll copy it.
The biggest problem I have with this is that it's the first time of the Marvel. Marvel.
I'm
going to
make them
do
it. Watch. Look at that. Right? That like looks very, very similar.
That's green. It's all
green. Green looks alike. Nailed it.
you finally understand color.
Yeah. Hey,
you're ahead of Pete. You're actually ahead of Pete.
How do you think this event is panning out?
I still like some of it, like the reveals and all the seating and stuff is still interesting because I've read all the earlier stuff.
Yeah.
But the actual Secret Invasion book has been kind of boring.
Right. I feel like this works better than this.
It's not going to happen. I don't know.
With all the back covers that you're looking at are exactly the same.
They still didn't link up. They're just the same.
Yeah, they link up. They tell a continuing story. See, in this one, the Transformers roll out. And, okay, maybe not.
Classic Miller.
Basically, this one is actually telling a story and filling in some background, showing you how Pym was taken out, and showing you information you didn't know. This is just recontextualizing scenes with Spider-Woman, showing you that, oh, she was a Skrull the whole time. When she was looking like this, she wasn't interested, she was sly. And that's pretty much it.
Very subtle.
Yeah.
Very subtle.
I think I met a Skrull at a bar once. I thought she was interested. It turned out she was sly.
No, I think she was drunk.
Yeah, that never happened.
How long?
I never went to a bar.
You guys together?
Me and a Skrull?
Yeah.
She wasn't a Skrull, but it seems like she retroactively made that up to justify fucking me. I only did that because I was a Skrull. And I was like, you don't sound like a Skrull. And she's like, gotta go. Skrull meeting.
Did you ask her to change shape?
Yeah, I was like, what's your phone number? She's like, oh, it's got a Skrull extension. You don't want it. And she just kind of like got in like a 91 Miata, so I know she's not a Skrull.
That's a good point.
That's a big reveal. Spoiler.
Next issue, Mighty Avengers. They don't drive 91 Miatas. All right, let's move on. Talk about Superman 677, which is the first issue of James Robinson's run. Starman fan, you want to talk about this?
Yeah, James Robinson, who is most well known for doing Starman, which is like my favorite comic book, is now doing Superman, which is really exciting, and it's a good start. It's kind of Starman-esque. Until about halfway through, this guy named Atlas shows up, and everyone's like, oh, Superman's here. Hooray! And he's like, I'm Atlas, and I'm angry. Where's Superman? Everyone's like, we don't know. We thought you were Superman. And then he's like, bring me Superman! And then Superman doesn't show up for a while. And then he does, and he's like, I hate you, Superman! And it's just like, all right, why do we have to go through all that? It's like watching a superhero go to the bathroom. Wouldn't you even see that?
Yeah, it's like, if like when you only have a finite amount of pages, it's like on the show 24, them just showing you the parts you don't like. It's like, yeah. We only have 1 hour.
Yeah, I know he's going to get ice cream. Yeah. Just put his phone in his hand. I get it.
In 20 pages, you just can't spend 4 pages of confusion.
Yeah. It's turns out this is a Kirby character or something like that. Anybody?
Everyone loves those Jack Kirby characters, right?
Not
this audience, apparently.
Huh? I like Kirby.
The Kirby, that's the name you should know.
No, don't know what that is.
No, that's your rap. That's his rap song. He's releasing. Check it out on iTunes. No, there's Kirby's Dreamland.
Kirby,
that's the name you should know.
Is that his theme song?
No, that's your rap song.
No, that's Kirby.
It's not a rap song.
It's from
also.
A Kirby show.
I don't think this is real.
That's just not real. Kirby had a show?
Kirby yeah. Show?
Are you talking about Bruno Kirby?
Kirby, that's the name you should know.
Bruno Kirby. Bruno.
Watch my show. No, nobody has seen Bruno Kirby's show. No.
What's next in this thing? I'm sorry.
Would you say pick up Superman?
I think it's going to be better. The art's kind of bad, which is a real bummer.
Yeah, I kind of like it. It sort of reminds me a little bit of Pete Wood stuff, which I really like a lot.
I don't know what to say.
Good point.
It's bad.
No, that's a good point.
And I don't like it when Superman fights people who are just like him. This guy Atlas is like strong and angry and everything.
And conveniently, there's a shot of him holding up this Daily Planet statue. Like,
yeah.
Remember, like the god Atlas holds the Earth. Like, it was like, we get it. We know why the guy's name.
Yeah. It's a bit heavy-handed.
Yeah.
Don't talk bad about James Brown.
I know. I just learned that.
All right, we're going to move on and talk about Runaways number 30, which is ending Joss Whedon's run on the title.
Alex, it's kind of your love, Joss Whedon.
Yeah, this wasn't good.
Wait, what?
Yeah, whoa. No, it kind of totally kills me to say this, but this was not good at all. One of the things that Joss Whedon is really good at,
afraid to say bad. This was, like, not good. The opposite of good.
It was not excellent.
Yeah, no. I mean, it definitely wasn't great.
Fantastic, it was not.
The writing was less than excellent, I think, in particular.
He did an amazing job of not quite hitting the mark.
Alex is still waiting to hear back about the callback to the Buffy off-Broadway play. So
I've got a stake.
You're just a
stake for you, Spike.
Buffy doesn't have sideburns, so I don't think he's going
to I'll say what my sideburns. I told you that at the audition.
To be fair, not many people do.
Yes. You're getting it kind of coming to the door right now. It's not like usual with Pete over here, and it's like, Pete, say something stupid. He's like, and then to go back. But now it's like, focused. It's a laser on you.
Yeah, I feel sort of like a lens of hatred.
Ooh.
Oh, what?
That's cool. Lens of hatred. Oh, he wears glasses, so he's always talking about glasses.
I know we're at a swimming pool. Come on.
What don't happened in the minute you took off your glasses?
Who moved me to a swimming pool?
They keep me not drunk.
Cool.
Yeah, they're pretty awesome.
So if you take your glasses off, you're always drunk?
Pretty much.
Wow.
Maybe I should see an eye doctor.
That shit will fuck you up. All right, let's
Runaways. Yeah. Have you guys, is anyone reading this series?
Yeah.
Runaways is a great series, and the thing that really pains me about it is there's some interesting ideas that don't pan out at all. And I do really get,
You're in love. It's understandable.
Yeah.
For some reason, Joss Whedon introduced like 35 characters in this arc, and they all, the last issue was like a huge street fight, and it's like, Amazing Man and Kinnicky versus like blah blah blah. All these like
he did reintroduce that guy from Grease too. And there was like a hickey from Kinnicky is like a Hallmark card. I saw that.
Yeah. See, that didn't make any sense. All these characters, it's like Steam Boy and
the
Kinnicky.
Pink ladies.
Yeah, the pink ladies. You know. So maybe I was just watching Grease. It's a great.
It's a confusing movie.
Yeah. Beauty School Dropout. Where did that come?
I don't know. I love Steam Boy in Grease.
Yeah.
No, you're right, Justin. No, there's like 50 characters, and then they're like, "Let's go back to our normal time. I will take those two characters." Yeah.
No, it was a big.
It's just a gigantic fight, and it doesn't really pan out, and it doesn't. It took so long. It's interesting. I mean, to contrast it, I think with Astonishing X-Men 24, which was another title that took like 6 months by Joss Whedon to actually arrive, but completely worked as its own issue, completely caught you up with what was going on. Here, this took also like 6 months to come out, and there was no way of following it at all.
It took 6 months for this issue to come out?
Something
yeah,
like that.
It was, wow. That's crazy. Bad times. Well, he made up all those characters, so he had to do something with it.
Because I was like, I literally was thinking that I've gone like 4 months without buying Runaways, and then I was like, I have to read this for the show tonight, and I was like, remember all this. This is like, nothing's happening anymore.
That's ridiculous.
Good time.
Good time.
I'm so silly.
That being said, it's good that they're rebooting Runaways.
And it's going back to
issue
number
one.
Issue number one. I should put your glasses on.
Wait, so it's going back to issue one, but no Joss Whedon.
No Joss Whedon.
Allison Hannigan is going to be writing it. That sums up my Buffy references. Are you alright? What
nice.
Are you doing?
No, the lights just went out when you said Allison Hannigan.
I know.
Wow.
She's what? Here. Oh. In spirit.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
She's dead.
Well, being announced according to plan.
Yeah. Mm. And that's how I met your mother. Let's move on and talk about Fantastic Four. 558. That's Jack. How do you like this?
So this is Warren Ellis. Mark Millar, sorry. And Brian Hitch, practically. The first arc was all over the place and weird. They built another planet Earth, and Reed Richards' ex-girlfriend was like, come check it out. And then this big robot went crazy, and it was just so useless. And then this Dr. Doom shows up, and again, so much information is coming out, and you don't know any of the characters. And then in the last page, not to spoil it, but I will, the Hulk shows up. Oh. And he's like, don't worry, everything's under control. Next issue!
Relax, everything's going to plan.
Yeah, I don't know exactly.
That doesn't even make sense. Everything's going to plan? He didn't say according. Oh, he's the Hulk.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, he's modifiers?
He's, yeah. It's one of his superpowers.
This series is not that good, which is kind of ridiculous to me, because it's Mark Millar and... Brian Hitch.
Oh, yeah, yeah, sometimes you forget.
Yeah, it's Warren Ellis and John Cassidy.
Yeah. And they're promoting the shit out of this book.
Yeah.
But it's, and for some reason it's not going well, I don't know.
Yeah, what is that? Why is it not going well? Is it, I think part of it has to do with the fact that they're trying to make it like, look how fantastic these stories are!
Yeah.
And instead of actually making them fantastic.
Well, I think a lot of people have like, you know, their great Fantastic Four story they want to tell, and this must be Mark Millar's, but it's probably been built up so much in his head that it doesn't make sense.
See, I don't know if that's it. I don't think it's actually his great Fantastic Four story. I think it's like, I'm gonna say Fantastic Four. I'm awesome, and Fantastic Four will be awesome just by me doing it.
So you think he's a dick?
Yeah.
Wow. Can't even say that Joss Whedon's work is subpar, but you can say Mark Millar's a dick.
Yeah, to be fair, he said
it. I said it. I trick him into saying all sorts of stuff.
You hear that little audio thing? Mark Millar, if you're out there looking to hire me, I did not say you were a dick.
Is that how I talk?
Uh-oh.
Well, that's yeah. Like, my voice.
Oh, and I have my glasses off. That's what everyone sounds like.
Back to you, back to you. I made Alex say one time that he hated Paul McCartney.
Wow.
That is not true.
That's it.
No, that's absolutely not true.
You know he's waiting here back for the callback for Love, the musical.
This is a joke for like one person in the audience right now.
Who's that? Yoko, oh, don't say that. Yeah, Yoko up there. Anyway, is anyone reading this Fantastic Four run?
No.
Yeah.
Yeah. You, what do you think?
I don't get it.
Yeah, right?
Yeah, it's all over the place. It's just,
I like it.
I think it's
you
trying.
Like it?
It's not terrible, it's just trying to be confusing on purpose, I think is what's going on. Like, you don't know what's happening, and we're not going to tell you for another 12 issues.
I think that's in fashion now with Grant Morrison. Everyone loves Grant Morrison. His whole thing is like, don't worry, I know what's going on, even if you don't.
And I mean, that's what's going on, like, that's what every TV show and movie is now, too, that comes out. Like, that's the thing to do. Like, Lost is like, we'll lord it over you guys that we know what's happening, but like, and you'll fucking suckle at the teat of confusion.
Ouch. Yeah, reading from your manifesto.
I mean, I just feel like they're not doing amazing work on Lost right now. I'm up for Hurley's kid brother, so I don't want to.
It's close.
Thanks.
I don't like the numbers either, Hurley.
That's one of his lines.
Nice.
I'm also tried out for the part. They didn't want me to have sight. All right, let's talk about Thunderbolts. So this is actually by Warren Ellis, and this is his last issue on the title, which is very sad. Not very sad, but it sucks because this is awesome and fun.
Yeah, it's big fights. The Diodato art is fantastic. It's perfect for the book. It's such a dark, quote-unquote book, and his art's fantastic. But I don't know, I feel like this title's been kind of doing the same thing for this whole last run.
Well, I think it's supposed to be silly, over-the-top, kind of mean stuff. It's a team of villains who actually hate each other and aren't necessarily seeking redemption, which I think is kind of cool in a certain way, just because the whole villain seeking redemption thing has been done so much. And I also think that we've talked about this a lot, the Black Ops team of extreme operatives thing has been done a lot, too. So I appreciate the fact that all these people want to do is kill each other and eat each other. That's it.
That's true. And that is nice. It's refreshing. I think it's weird in this issue.
It's refreshing and fun.
Yeah, it's cuddly. I think it's weird in this issue. The Green Goblin speaks with like British euphemisms. And I think Warren Ellis is kind of letting a little of his grit.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's Warren Ellis at this point is writing 300 comics a week. And so everything is about like, all his characters are like, boy, I'm tired.
Yeah. Oh, man, I wish my wife would leave me
alone. Not to spoil anything, but when you guys read Astonishing X-Men tomorrow, literally the first 10 pages are taken up with every character asking where the coffee is.
Where the fuck is the coffee?
Yeah. And then they're like, I'm on deadline.
Yeah, Cyclops like, I have got to stop writing comics. And Aaron's like, really? That's a weird
In any case, this is great. Pick it up, and that's it for the stat. Now it is time for my favorite section. It's my favorite section because you guys make it up. It's audience questions, and for that we're going to bring out Booth Bang.
Booth Bang! I showed up, guys. I almost wore my pink costume, but
whoa,
it was dirty.
Aren't you wearing the pink pants right now?
Yeah. Yes. You know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, I do. Unfortunately. Next time.
Oh, weird. Here's some questions that the audience gave me. Ask you guys. All right, that's how this works. Are there any series that have been canceled that you actually really, really liked?
The Order.
Recently.
The Order was canceled, and that was a fantastic series by Matt Fraction. that was canceled. No one bought it, so they had to cancel it.
Someone bought it.
Yeah, me.
And me.
I would say the Atom actually is, it's being canceled with the next issue that's coming out, which totally sucks. It's too bad because Gail Simone did such a great job on this title, and I think actually we talk about a lot how Grant Morrison comes up with ideas for stuff, and then everybody's like, wow, those are great ideas, Grant Morrison, I'm going to ignore you. And that's pretty much what happens across the board. Grant Morrison created the new Atom and the ideas from the new Atom, and Gail Simone picked them up and ran with them in a really good and really original way. Now Rick Remender is writing it, and he's been forced to, I think, tie up every single plot thread in essentially two issues, which is completely forced, and it really doesn't work, and it's really too bad. I wish...
Especially because Rick Remender is such a cool writer.
Yeah, if he had been given an actual run on the title, rather than, I think, three or four issues, he might have been able to do a good job with it.
And that's another title that, like Blue Beetle, it was in that same, it was very creative, and the story, the characters were well done, and the stories were well told, but it just never found the money.
Yeah, I hope they continue the Blue Beetle, actually, on that note. I mean, it seems like they are, which is great.
I think that, though they changed the writer, whatever it is, but that sale would be well done, I think.
Cool.
Any?
No, I'm glad everything that got canceled was canceled.
Cool.
What comic should be the next mainstream sensation?
X-Men. I think that's really big.
That's a theme song idea I have. Yeah.
How about X-Men? That's the name you should know.
That's another one of your rap songs.
I swear to God, there was a Kirby show, and that was the theme song. Except without X-Men, but Kirby. Not next question.
We're done bullshitting.
What's going to go mainstream next? Does that mean like mainstream like movies?
What should be?
Yeah, like what's going to be the next big comic kind of thing?
Fables.
Anybody? Fables?
Yeah, you mean made into a movie?
A show, something like that.
Oh, okay.
Is Why the Last Man be in development?
Yeah,
it is.
Runaways actually is a good one, just because Brian K. Vaughan is writing the script for the movie, which is great because he's a great writer and obviously he created it. And I think it's just the sort of thing that will push comic book movies forward from just being, you know, this divide between sometimes you get like a Ghost World or something like that, yeah. But most of the time it's Spider-Man, X-Men, superhero stuff. And this is something that exists in a superhero world. Will exist in the Marvel Universe and give people hints of that, but at the same time be its own thing, which I think will be really cool for people to see.
Well, one thing that I can't believe is being made into a movie is Ant-Man.
Yeah.
Who's going to go see an Ant-Man movie?
Pew!
Yeah, well, you're different. Oh, wait, you want to go see that?
Ants.
Yeah. It's not about ants.
I love them.
You should see A Bug's Life.
Or ants.
Actually,
if you love ants, you should probably skip A Bug's Life and just see ants.
A Bug's Life also about ants.
Or Honey, I Shrunk the Kids.
Also, big ants.
Big featured ant in that movie. Or Matinee with
or
John
man.
Goodman.
That's a mant.
I know, but I took, I went there for a birthday party when I was like 12.
Yeah,
my
into
birthday,
a movie?
To a movie theater. My family,
you went to a movie theater?
Yeah.
What was it like?
Yeah, this was my big special treat for my birthday. My parents took me and some friends to Taco Bell and then to see Matinee. Which was like, to me, like I think that fucked me up for birthdays. That was like the worst birthday experience I've ever had.
You didn't like it at the time?
What?
Taco Bell?
No, I love Matinee. It was the Taco Bell that I was pissed off.
During the movie, did they just like lightly grind their knuckles into your side?
Happy fucking birthday.
Tell people do when they're angry, lightly grind knuckles into your side?
He grew up in a loving gentle house.
Hey, Alex, did you get
old? Put your drunk goggles on.
You guys have met my parents?
Yeah. They took me to a movie on my birthday.
That's weird.
Criminal.
That's a good one.
That is a great one.
Yeah.
To answer your question. Remember that question?
Nope. Let's get the next question.
Cool. Okay. What was the best Hulk TV show episode you can remember?
Cool.
The Thor movie.
The episode with Thor is great.
Yeah. What about the one when he's like really sad and he's like walking a lot? Now all the special.
I like the episode
101, 102.
I like the one where his friend is playing with his dad's gun at the party. And he accidentally kills himself.
That's
and then, like, the Hulk has to band together with his friend.
That was Matt Perry.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Is that a real episode?
Yeah.
Of 90210.
Are you fucking serious? My parents ruined that.
It's the Incredible Hulk. Jason Priestley is an insane beast.
Who asked that question?
Own up.
I'm going to fucking murder you.
I did. Bill Bixby.
Yeah.
What's your favorite episode?
I like the one where, not only is he like turned into Hulk, but in one episode, it's like a Jekyll and Mr. Hyde episode, where he creates a potion to cure himself of being the Hulk, but it turns him into like this Lothario, like creepy, like guy who hits on chicks.
The Hulk or Bruce Banner?
Bruce Banner.
Oh, okay.
You're thinking
David
of
David Banner.
You're thinking of Urkel and when he would get in the machine or kind of to
Stefan Urkel.
Yeah. Anyway.
I read somewhere that they changed the name to David Banner because Bruce was too gay.
That's true.
Yeah. But running around in purple denim shorts is not gay.
With naked Lou Ferrigno.
Bodybuilding is not.
But his name was David Bruce Banner. So I think,
reason was because of the alliteration. They didn't want the alliteration of Bruce Banner. They felt it was too comic booky and not realistic. let's get the next question.
Should Watchmen be a movie, or can they pull it off well?
I think it's going to be a movie.
Well, yeah, there's no stopping that dream.
Let's stop. Do you think this is going to work, guys? You know what? Let's cancel production.
Yeah.
No, I don't know. I think.
Do you think they can pull it off?
Absolutely.
Yeah. I'm getting pretty giddy about it. I always thought it should have been like an HBO miniseries, something badass like that. But
that would be awesome.
That would have been really cool. But like this, you know, seeing the art from it and knowing like it's like Zack Snyder's doing it, right?
Yeah.
Knowing that, it's like kind of makes me feel a little safer. And then hearing that the whole Treasure Island, like the deserted island subplot is going to be a special feature on the DVD, that's pretty fucking cool to me.
Yeah.
It means like the guy who's doing it is not like the guy who did Ghost Rider. You know what I mean? Like it. We're gonna have some faith.
Absolutely.
I love Ghost Rider.
I wish.
I love anything with Nick Cage in it, I swear to God. I don't give a shit.
It's Nick Cage.
Why are the bees?
Yeah.
That's what he yells in.
One more question.
Wicker Man.
Okay.
Yes, so we do think it'll work.
Yes. Why do women in comic books always have big boobs?
You will buy comic books.
Yes.
Well, the same reason. Why do men have huge muscles in it? You know what I mean?
Yeah, nothing else.
What does that mean?
Somebody wants to see more ding-a-ling.
Yeah.
Tell us how you really feel.
Ding-a-ling.
Yeah.
I mean, the explanation that comic book creators give is that they're supposed to be idealized humans. So that's why they have ridiculous physiques across the board. Why do they actually have it? I really do think it's so you buy comic books, because for the most part, it has been little boys, and little boys are really interested by boobs. Spoiler.
Also, big boys.
Spoiler.
Girls read comics now.
Yeah, but I mean the male.
Well, can you see, do you see like the breast size shrinking down? you're not. We should just.
You remember Seven of Nine?
Well, listen, I'm a straight male. But
really?
Yeah,
come on.
Tonight, and then, if I was reading comic books, I would rather my superheroes have huge dicks than tiny dicks, right? And I don't even like. So I think about that.
Wait, follow me on this.
If you want to bring up my chart, I'm doing extensive research on both time bullets and my superheroes.
It looks like this, and there's like the bulge here.
Yeah.
Well, I'm saying, like, I know, like, to her defense, of, like, girls read comic books too. It's like.
And it's dick size versus time.
Yeah, exactly. it's Planck's constant. Math joke.
Math dick joke.
Only select few perverted nerds can pull it off. No, I mean, like, I was saying in a different, like, going with what she said of, like, girls read comic books too. I was like, yeah, but, like, I don't necessarily like the male figure, but I still want to see my superheroes to be giant, muscular
with
dudes with
dick.
Huge, throbbing, handy dicks. That's all I'm talking about.
You're a regular comic book fan.
My father wasn't around a lot growing up. Is that anything to do with that?
And that's it for your 100th question. Thank you, dear friend. All right, it is time for our next section, which we like to call the Week in Geek. So, we're going to talk about some stuff now. First thing we're going to talk about is Hellboy 2, The Golden Army, I think. Yes, we are. And here's the thing, we got to see it last night.
We saw it last night together. Yeah. Poof, in your face! Later, that's enough.
Yeah.
I just wanted to lord that over you.
So what did you think of the movie?
You guys can give me Pete's ticket?
Pete didn't get a ticket, we just went together.
Yeah, we just went together. He was put a bucket of popcorn on Pete's.
And then we ate it,
just like we ate. Yeah, should have confessed that. What'd you think of the movie?
It's good. It's much better than the first one. Visually, it's amazing. You kind of, you know, Hellboy saved the day.
I like this, actually, which I was pretty surprised because, honestly, I did not like the first Hellboy movie at all. I found it extraordinarily boring when I was watching it. But this was fun. It was bigger and better and funnier. In particular, two things that I really liked about it. One, which I was totally surprised by, Johan Kraus, the character of Johan Kraus, voiced by Seth MacFarlane.
Seth MacFarlane!
Fucking Family Guy.
Yeah.
Is hilarious. And
very
great.
Funny.
Really great.
And
really
the accent,
fun
does a German accent.
A ridiculous.
Spot on.
Yeah, it's really, really fun. The other thing that I really liked about it a lot was seeing practical effects. People actually in costumes with, you know, mouths that move, sort of, you know, Henson Creature Workshop type stuff, rather than crazy CGI creations.
Yeah.
It was really a breath of fresh air.
It's much more satisfying than, like, Hulk, where it's, you know, it's all CGI to see the creatures right there.
Yeah.
It definitely makes a difference.
I was actually thinking about it while I was watching the movie that I kind of feel like now, in retrospect, that the Hulk could have worked as a suit or a puppet or something like that rather than CGI, maybe even better.
Well, Guillermo does it upright.
Yes.
How to do it.
Nobody does it better.
Are you looking forward to this movie?
How do you just laugh at yourself just saying the word Guillermo like it was a joke? Like, Guillermo does it right. That was first name.
Yeah.
He's just amazed that he knows stuff.
Yeah. I'm proud of myself.
I'm proud of you too. I didn't see Hellboy 2.
Well, are you looking forward to it?
I didn't see Hellboy 2. Yeah, sure, why not? You know what I mean? I'm cool. That's how I feel about it. I'm not excited to see it, but I'll go see it. Probably won't pay $11 to see it.
You're going to see it?
Would you pay $10?
Yes.
Great.
Show me a movie theater. I'm in. Sign me up. Go up to NIAC and go see it or something. The Palisades.
It's a very funny movie. I feel like, though, it's very insider-y, I think. It's for comic book fans.
I'm actually going to disagree with you on that. Just because...
And I'm going to stay out of this argument.
I'm going to disagree with you because I didn't really remember anything about the first movie, but I totally got into this movie and understood what was going on instantly. I feel like they begin the movie with, like, in case you didn't see the first one, here's what's going on.
No, they definitely provide the information, but it's very, like, they're still cool with each other, that they can just laugh and joke around. Like, there's no... Other superhero movies are all about, like, creating the hero and arcing it, blah, blah, blah. This is for comic book fans who already know that these are heroes and know what's going to happen, so they can take a moment and be drunk and sit around and laugh and joke.
The people in the movie, not the people in the movie theater.
Right, the people in the movie, the characters.
Yes.
We had a good laugh, though, right?
Yes, we did.
Okay, good.
And I took out my glasses. It's cool. So go see it?
Yeah, I think it's good. Definitely go see it. Cool.
I'll go see it.
Sweet. All right, let's move on to talking about the next movie, which is Hancock.
Nice.
We're slowly winnowing out the amount of people that can talk about this stuff. Good week indeed, you guys. But I got to see an advanced screening of Hancock, and it is not good.
Very bad?
I was looking forward to it.
Yeah, so was I. It was really disappointing. There are some funny scenes, and Will Smith does a good job overall.
Like funny, like Pursuit of Happiness funny?
Yeah, like the scene in the bathroom.
Yeah.
Oh, fucking
man.
Hilarious.
Kills me every time.
It's like, oh, we got a scene in the bathroom.
That's probably the most racist voice you've ever
heard. To be fair, he does a lot of racist voices.
Yeah. Yeah, backstage, he kept saying, he's so solly.
<Well, there are. laughs>
That would have killed with Guillermo.
Now the movie it just doesn't hold together as a movie at all, which is the biggest problem. It's basically this thing happens, and then this thing happens, and then this thing happens. You know, kind of how you were saying with Hellboy that there's no real arc of the hero.
Yeah.
There's kind of an arc, but it happens in such choppy bits. In addition, the entire movie is filmed in Peter Berg style, which is like this very documentary. We have a shaky cam. We're focusing in on your faces really close and really getting into your emotion. But it's all supposed to be like, ha, he's an alcoholic superhero. It's hilarious, which doesn't work at all.
I thought I read somewhere that the original like draft of screenplay was like way darker. And
yeah.
Then the production company had them lighten it a lot. Like there was like a statutory rape scene or something like
that. That's absolutely what it feels like. Completely throughout. It feels like a statutory rape.
Yeah. So it's just a good time for everyone involved?
Yeah. Until the law gets involved.
Well, Whoa. So you're saying you feel like they...
Sometimes, to create comedy, you have to speak from experience.
Truth in comedy, guys. It's beautiful.
Yeah, I'm writing a book.
So you're saying you feel like someone screwed around with the script.
I'll give you a very specific example, and this is a spoiler, but there's a running joke in the thing where somebody will call Hancock an asshole, and he'll say, call me asshole one more time, and they'll say, asshole, which is fine, except, and maybe I'm incorrect about this, but I feel like everybody felt so uncomfortable saying the word asshole in the movie, and it doesn't roll off their tongue. It's not particularly funny.
The actors?
Yeah. It's not particularly funny, and it's weird that all of these people across the board, they're the first thing like, ah, you're an asshole, with no variation.
Asshole.
You know what I mean? That, like, I would call you an asshole, a dickwad, or, you know, a suck face.
Weenie fart?
Nailed it.
Yeah, a weenie fart.
Nailed it.
Whatever it was very weird to have this as a hilarious running joke throughout the piece. Didn't work at all.
In the movie, I feel like just by, you know, the tagline, like, it's a drunk superhero, you're like, well, he'll probably sober up and save the day. And that's what happens.
Yeah.
There you go.
What?
Is it another Wild Wild West?
No, it's better than Wild Wild West, because at least they're trying to do something, and there are
Is Kevin Kline in it?
There's slightly less mechanical spiders. There's still a couple, which is awesome.
I don't know. Kevin Kline is pretty funny in Wild Wild West.
I rate movies by how many mechanical spiders are in them. That's why Runaway is my favorite movie of all time.
Runaway?
Yeah. That's that movie with Tom Selleck and the robots. Gene Simmons is like a... bad guy and he sends robotic spiders out.
I think you're making this up.
Yeah.
It was this last night. I smoked some peyote and I said, I was with my shaman and we watched this movie together. I swear it's a real movie. IMDb that shit.
Later, you guys.
Hey, you don't think I tell the truth?
First, we're going to talk about the next movie, which is Wanted, which came out. Also, I'm the only one who saw this, too, right?
Other people may have seen The Wanted.
You guys see Wanted?
How long are Angelina Jolie's arms in the movie?
Too long and too skinny.
That poster is scary. That's such a terrible Photoshop job.
This is... Eric, can we bring the lights down for a second?
Yeah.
This poster is awful.
Look how huge your arm is!
James McAvoy is the star of the movie. And like, all right, what you do is be stuck in the corner and cover your face with guns. And Angelina Jolie. Yeah.
We will lengthen your bicep to be as long as your forearm.
As long as a gun.
All right, we can bring the lights back up.
What'd you guys think about this movie? All in favor of Wanted. All right, that's fair.
That's two. Very who's boo? Who's anti-Wanted?
Boo.
Cut another clap.
There's a comic.
Decent
yeah.
comic, not enough dick in the movie, she said. We need some McAvoy penis.
Yeah.
They call it a Macavenus.
TM.
What, you guys didn't see Chronicles of Narnia?
Not the version you saw.
Yeah. Mr. Tumnus?
Mr. Tumnus. That's all goat dick.
Now we're talking about goat dick.
You promised yourself you wouldn't say goat dick.
Yeah, that was the one word I said when I left rehab.
Giant baby goat.
Just an FYI. Goat dick.
Just a what? Just an FYI.
That's
our
show. That's our show. Wanted, I did not think was that great. The most disappointing part about it was exactly what we thought it would be, is that they have a very solid idea for the comic book, that supervillains have taken over the world. Simple, fun, easy. This
complicates it with curving bullets and adrenaline and a loom of fate.
Adrenaline?
Yeah. Their powers, the reason they can curve bullets and like run faster than everybody else is because they can harness their adrenaline.
You can curve bullets with adrenaline?
Actually,
that's stupid.
I didn't want to see this movie until just now. I'm starting to
like, you can curve bullets.
You don't learn how to do it.
Yeah, no.
Oh, no. Everybody can have it.
And Morgan Freeman says motherfucker in it.
Yeah, that was funny.
I can't believe Morgan Freeman did this movie.
Morgan Freeman will do anything.
Yeah.
You think so?
He does a lot.
I thought he was like, you know.
Yeah, he's like, well, now I'll show up for lunch.
Yeah.
Is that Sam Jackson?
Get there.
He's a master of impersonation. Well, Morgan Freeman was in the bucket list, so.
Oh, God.
Now we're speaking your language.
You know,
plenty of dick
and
bucket
needed.
List, though.
There we go. And that's it for the week at Geek. Now we're going to move on to our next section, which is trivia. For that, we're going to turn it to Pete LePage. So here's the thing. Pete normally does trivia, and we're kind of lost without Pete, including our regular prizes. But
we have much worse prizes.
We're going to ask three questions. Each of us are going to ask one question. It's going to be a trivia question about this show.
Wow.
It just happened. And if you get it correct, you're going to win a copy of Caliber, First Canon of Justice, and Hercules of the Thracian
we
Wars.
We should have waited to reveal the prizes to last.
We want people to at least volunteer for it.
Well, yeah. No, these are really cool. So, Justin, you got a trivia question about the show?
Yes. What is the name of the actress from Buffy that was named earlier on in the show? The glasses in the back. Oh.
Madigan.
Who's your favorite X-Men?
Favorite X-Men
is all.
I think you actually did not answer the question.
I lobbed you one, and you whiffed it. What was that?
Favorite X-Man?
Yeah. Or X-Woman?
Gambit.
Well, that's kind of the wrong answer.
This thing is free. The wheels are off the bus when without Peter.
I gotta ask a question.
Tell her just to chill out.
Okay, all right, I got one more question. Last question is, what movie did he go see for his birthday?
Matinee.
Yes.
Nice. No one's
best. What should be a question?
That's James Lewis. We sat next to him. He softly knuckled me during.
He's your dad.
Yeah. James Lewis is my father.
All right. As we all know, tomorrow is New Comic Book Day. We recommend you go to Midtown Comics because they've been nice enough to sponsor the show. But what are you looking forward to that's coming out?
Well, let's see. Shit, I need that list.
I'm looking forward to Blue Beetle is coming out. Will Pfeiffer has taken over the title, and he did a very good job with the first issue. I'm hoping that he continues, and I'm very interested to see where it goes. He's a solid author, and I'd like to see, as we mentioned earlier in the show, that title continue for the long run.
Because P's not here, I'll say Punisher War Journal for him.
No, why? You're going to say it for him?
Yeah. No, I'm excited for the Comic Shop News tomorrow. Yeah. I thought there's going to be like a big expose. It's going to peel back. Yeah, it's going to hold a mirror up to society. Big throbbing, meaty expose.
I don't think you read Comic Shop News. That may be the problem.
Yeah. I am. It's handwritten, right?
It's like comic. The second letter is the same. The first letter is different, and it's four letters long.
Starts
with
trivia.
P and O.
That's trivia. Patsy Walker, Hellcat. You can laugh at me about that, but we read it and it's actually very good.
Yeah.
Very
it's
funny.
Totally awesome. Definitely.
It's about a superhero who is part of the Initiative, and she has to be. She's the only hero in the Alaskan Initiative. It's pretty funny.
Yeah, good stuff.
That's it.
Cool. Good. So definitely head out to the comic book shop tomorrow. A couple of plugs before we go. Next week, we are going to have Greg Pak on the show. He is the author of Scar, Son of Hulk, and Roper Hulk, and a bunch of other Hulk titles, among other things. Also, you can check us out three times a week on PulpSecret.com, PulpSecret.com, where Pete sometimes appears when he's not in New England. Yeah. Anything you want to plug?
You can watch IFC.com on Fridays. I host a weekly pop culture show called Lunchbox. That's all I got for you. You can come see Matinee with me for my birthday this year.
You're going to see it again? You hate it.
Yeah. Well, it's a tradition.
All right, a couple of people want to thank. We want to thank John for being on the show. Yeah! We also want to thank John and Jerry at Midtown. But most of all, I want to thank you guys. We're here every Tuesday night at 8 p.m. We'll see you next week. Good night.
Thank you, folks.